Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome to another round of the best of SDHAM from the Soccer Down here, SDH Network. John Nelson here with you. And thanks for joining us here on the Odyssey app and on the Off the Woodwork section in your podcast at 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Over the next little while, we'll take you back over some of the stories and some of the best interviews that we had on SDHAM. For those of you that are new to us here, SDHAM on the Soccer Down Here Network is our morning show. Starts at 9.05. AM Monday through Friday, usually goes 2 hours and sometimes a little longer depending on the news of the day and the conversations that we have. But what we like to do over the span of a Monday through Friday is do deep dives into Atlanta United, deep dives into Major League Soccer, take a look at the stories that are going on in the world of soccer, and come out the other side with the previews for the weekend, getting you ready for the action in all of your favorite leagues across the planet. This time around, we're going to start things off with Atlanta United. And with Atlanta United being the early kick, what we always like to do on the SDH Network and SDHAM is try and do what we call opposition research. And this time around, with Atlanta United squaring off against Chicago Fire, what we did is we caught up with the play-by-play voice of the Chicago Fire on WLS AM 890, Max Anderson, and found out what it's like for him to be the voice of the Fire on the Big 89 and what the season has been like for Chicago Fire and the Chicago Fire fans under Greg Berhalter, and what he thinks about what's going to be happening this afternoon, Saturday afternoon, in Major League Soccer. So here's our conversation that we had with Max Anderson about Chicago Fire. We welcome for the first time someone who now gets to hang out and have he's got the keys to the kingdom, he's got the garage door opener, he now knows how to enter into the hour of chaos on Friday if he so chooses. Max Anderson, radio play-by-play voice of the Chicago Fire, dropping in for our Oppo Intel and our Oppo Research. What up, dude?
John, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I want to make sure you can hear me all right. First time
you,
using this platform.
You are okay. Everything is fine.
And great.
And it is up and running. And what? All right. So it's a chat. See, I'm trying to get rid of the lower third because it's like I was trying to promote something. Now people can see who we are. All right. The reason that we started doing this year on the network is we wanted to have Oppo Research, and
sure,
we wanted to kind of introduce everyone who follows Atlanta United, since that's where we're based. We wanted to bring in folks from each individual market to sit there and break it down and sit there and find out what to expect when it comes to the 2025 MLS season. So I reached out. This is breaking the fourth wall. I reach out to Max And it's like, literally, you know, I reach out to Max and I'm like, okay, how about here? And I'm literally trying to figure out, okay, how can I reach out to him? And it was through Instagram messaging that I got a hold of you. And you're probably sitting there going, uh-oh.
Well, now I'm wondering where else you're trying to contact me, John. I feel bad.
I was trying to do it on the Twitters, but like DMing, and it was like, I didn't get the DMing.
I don't tweet much anymore. I've pretty much punted on Twitter in terms of tweeting. I think my last tweet was 3 years ago when I got this job. So, Instagram is definitely more where you can find me for sure.
Right on. And so as the play-by-play voice of the Fire, so first off, let me ask you, what's it like to go from you know, what you were doing with hockey, and being a hockey guy, I'm big into that too. Mm-hmm. So what's it like to be the voice of the Fire?
You know, it surprised me. I'd spent a lot of years doing a lot of high school hockey in the area. I've done some college soccer, college baseball, college softball, and did all through college. I work professionally, but this I also do. And got the opportunity to interview for the Chicago Fire job. A friend of a friend in the broadcasting world said, hey, we're looking for a new radio play-by-play. And I said, I'd love to do it. It had been, close to 10 years since I'd called a soccer game. I didn't tell them that at the time. But I did the tryout, and I guess it went well enough. And the original hiring manager, Jamie Chin, who recently left the Fire, is now with FIFA. Yeah. As part of their preparations leading up to the World Cup, is an A1 human being, took a chance on a guy that, I have a lot of play-by-play experience, but not necessarily a lot in soccer. So it's been a great season three. It's been awesome.
Yeah, and Jamie is a friend of ours here at the network as well. So anytime we want to knock on a FIFA-ish door, Jamie is the guy that we talk to on a national scale. Coming into this season, everybody was sitting there and looking at Greg Berhalter being the Bill Parcells of Major League Soccer, getting both job titles, you know, having the business card full on the front and the back. What was the buzz like when 3GB wandered in the door, and the expectations when the season started?
So, you know, personally, I found it really interesting. Obviously, as a soccer fan, you follow the U.S. men's national team. I follow a little bit of Europe. I stay abroad in Barcelona, so obviously Barcelona is my side. But you really got to know Greg through what felt like a pretty negative last year and a half of media attention.
Right.
The Nepo scandals that people claim that were going on. I bring all that up to say, I am convinced at this point that it was a media machine gone amok, because I've gotten the chance to watch Greg Berhalter up close for, close to 3 months now. And I think he's a phenomenal coach. And I think the pulse that he has on his team is great. He's phenomenal with the media. He absolutely answers your questions. He, after the 7-2 loss to Nashville, which was, I don't even know how to analyze that one. He said what everybody saw. And I think that's what got Fire fans really frustrated the last few years, is you would get people talking about the club as if, well, we're making progress here in a 4-1 loss. And no, Greg Berhalter made it clear that was unacceptable. We apologize to our fans. We're going to be better. We're going to answer to it. There are going to be repercussions. And I think that's all fans really want. Yeah. It's been a rough decade for Fire fans. And there's been a lot of expectations. There's been big names that have been brought in that haven't quite lived up. And so coming into the season, there was a little bit of trepidation just because of, I think, the mental schema that at least I know I'd built up about Greg Berhalter and his national team experience.
Yeah.
It's done a 180 for me. And even though the last few games have been kind of rough, and I'm sure we'll talk more about that, you still see a huge difference from what it looked like the last few seasons.
And so how would you characterize what Chicago is going through in 2025? Everybody's saying, okay, well, it's a rebuild, it's this, it's that. How would you characterize what's going on?
I wouldn't call it a rebuild. I'd call it a transition year. And I know that can be a cop-out a little bit in terms of, not wanting to call it as bad, because I do think they reloaded in some really nice ways. Phil Zinkernagel's come in and been a revelation. He's been phenomenal up the right wing. He's shown both great play on the ball, but great play in terms of finishing. Jonathan Bamba hasn't quite tallied the goals I think the Fire fans and even Greg Berhalter, who frankly, has been pretty tough on Bamba, expecting a lot out of him. He had two assists in his first match in the MLS. And he said, where was the scoring? Again, going back to Greg Berhalter, just being the goods. I think those pieces up front, Kuipers has been more dynamic than he was last season. Even leading the team in goals last year, he's been much more creative this season, up to 7 goals now. And that top three have been really, really good. They're scoring a lot of goals. That has not been the problem. Problem's been on the other side.
Yeah.
Problem's been on the back end, giving up a league-leading MLS goals. The back line has been a mess. Jack Elliott stabilized it, I'd say, to start. You started to see the inklings of a solid defensive core if Carlos Teran could stay healthy. Of course, right as he found a rhythm, he got hurt again, and it sounds like, based on Greg Berhalter's comments, he's going to be out a while. He said called it a pretty serious injury. So it sounds like he's going to be out for a little bit. And if you were watching, you saw it was not good to watch. And then you had the 7-2 debacle in Nashville. Now, part of the context you have to understand is the Fire earlier this season did something they haven't done in 20 years. They won 3 straight road games. They were the talk of the MLS, frankly, after about match day 6. Mm-hmm. And injuries and national team duty really ruined this team's rhythm. I know everyone has injuries, but it's been a revolving door of injuries to key players to the point where they had 4 homegrown players starting a game that weren't on the roster a year and a half ago. It's been tough at times to really stabilize things on the back end and in the midfield. Kellen Acosta has been in and out of injury. Brian Gutierrez had a goal in his first game, just like he did last year. Everybody's like, this is the year that Brian Gutierrez, then he goes national team duty, gets hurt not playing with national team, misses a couple more games, then gets a red card that was a red card. I'll leave it at that. and so his season's kind of been, not trying to find his footing too. So it's just been disjointed all together in the middle of it. I think Greg Berhalter's done a great job trying to piece this thing together. Now there's talk about, Alex De Bruyne. Kevin De Bruyne. Is that a thing that might come down the pike? That would obviously be this summer. So this team still got a month or two of games before any meaningful reinforcements come their way.
Yeah, last time out, your starting 11 started with Brady in net, and then it didn't. And we'll get into that in a second. Andrew Gutman, who is familiar to a lot of folks here in the Atlanta area with his time with Atlanta United. Elliot Cupson, who we refer to as a little ball of hate, Johnny Dean, from his time in Birmingham. We knew him from USL Championship. Underrated player, Johnny Dean. Good to see him there. Pineda, Gutierrez, Orihel, Bamba, Kuipers, and Zinkernagel in a 4-3-3 as it's listed. So now that Brady is not in net for the 36th-minute red card, who is it going to be in net this weekend up there going up against Atlanta United?
We haven't heard officially. It's not going to be Jeff Gall from what we understand. It sounds like it's going to be Brian Dowd called back on an emergency hardship waiver. Now, I know MLS rules. This is one that kind of caught me that I had to read up on exactly how this emergency rule worked.
Okay.
But it does sound like they can recall him from loan for one game. Again, didn't know that was possible. But I guess there is some hardship exception within the MLS. MLS rules sickos out there can certainly chat me here and quote me on it. That is not an MLS rule I was familiar with. It's a capable goalkeeper. He's not Chris Brady. Frankly, Chris Brady, the last 3 seasons has had, I think, some national team clout taken away from him just because of the performance of the team. I truly believe a solid run of team performance, and he's in the running to be the U.S. Men's national team keeper within a year. He makes some saves that I don't see anybody else in this league making. He is dynamic. He's young. He's an incredible athlete in goal, and he's really come along in the final tier of his game. First 2 years getting to call Chris Brady, the saves weren't the question. He was not very good playing the ball out of the back. And if you want to make that next step as a keeper in Europe, which I think eventually he will, you've got to be able to handle the ball out of the back. You've got to be able to place it where you need to within the 30 yards of the box. And he was not good at it the first couple of years. He's been much better at it this year, A lot of that having to do with Greg Berhalter's system and the importance of control out of the back. And so that's been, I think, the last frontier of his game. And like I said, I think he's in Europe in the not too distant future and potentially leading the U.S. men's national team in the next year or so.
Max Anderson, play-by-play voices, Chicago Fire, dropping by for our Oppo Research segment that we have every week as Atlanta United's getting ready for the Chicago Fire. I guess this is the match game portion of the program. For things to go well offensively for Chicago, blank is happening on the field, and it can be people and interactions and formations and attack-minded ideas. If things are going well, what are folks seeing in the attack for Chicago?
So for most of the season, it's been because Andrew Gutman and Jonathan Bamba have been creating up the left side. Now, that wouldn't have been my answer to enter the season. Mm-hmm. It would have been because Brian Gutierrez was dynamic in the midfield, but he just hasn't found his footing so far this season.
Yeah.
If he gets his footing in the midfield to set up guys like Bamba, guys like Zinkernagel, and guys like Kuipers, it can be a long game. They've scored a lot of goals this year. That has not been the problem. Scoring-wise, you're going to see, again, the dynamic play on the left side between Bamba and Gutman. I don't have to educate your audience on what Gutman can bring and his attacking nature up that left side. But that seems to me, when this team's going best, it's those two creating on the left side and then Kuipers really pushing the middle to create the space kind of at the edge of the 18. They've scored a lot of goals kind of in that 6 to 18 range because they are able to push up into the box, get that kind of clear space a little more in behind, and guys like Kuipers are finding the ball and finishing. Guys like Bamba and Gutierrez at times are also finishing.
What's it been like to see Kuipers evolve over the last handful of seasons?
Well, last year he looked like a box poacher. I mean, that's literally all he looked like. And you didn't really see him create. You didn't see him work open spaces. You didn't see him create for others. You really just saw him kind of camp out in the box and wait for a cross to come in that he can either head in, or after it bounces around, he can kick it in. That's been different this year, especially, not as much last month, slowed down as the entire team has, but on the whole, he's playing more to space. He's really doing a nice job of pressing defensive lines to create space between lines, which is where the Fire have had some success. So sometimes he's just using himself as a dummy in terms of clearing space and allowing guys to come in behind him with much better looks at goal. So he's obviously still doing the poaching. He's still doing the box poaching, but that's not his entire game. Maybe only half his goals, three or four of his goals have been right place, right time. They've also been creating space. He's a key goal against Cincinnati. They ended up losing the game, but it was a key goal in the game to get him back in. It was a force over. He turned. Got it to Bamba. Bamba threaded it through to Gutman, and Gutman finished it. So even in the transition play, he's been able to create some chances and be more dynamic than just a box poacher.
So is there, and I don't know if this is conventional wisdom or a fear from those who are watching outside of the field of play, but is the idea currently, okay, we know we have defensive deficiencies from the Department of Redundancy Department, but is the idea almost to outscore the opponent, knowing that we're going to give some up, that we're putting that much more pressure on our offense because of the frailties at the back?
You'd see Greg Berhalter's head explode if you asked him that question. The answer is no. The answer is absolutely not. He's not here to play, West Coast football. He's not here to play Golden State Warriors 3-point. He knows that things need to be cleaned up. And that's been the key, really, is the mistakes. I mean, it has been – if I think of all the goals this season, less than half, maybe a quarter are off of just brilliant, really good, solid soccer play, right? And build up. The mistakes in the back have been killing them. And they've been avoidable mistakes that frankly, that's what FC Cincinnati did. Fire worked so hard for their two goals. Cincinnati pounced on three mistakes and scored bing, bang, boom. One of those being really unfortunate. I'm not sure if anybody saw the clip, but Mauricio Pineda, just outside his own box, is tripped by the ref, creates a 4-on-3 the other way, and Cincinnati gets the score. Again, looked up that rule, would have thought there'd been a little bit more clear in the rule. That's a judgment call.
Oh,
I think that should probably operate like when the ball hits the referee. Yeah. And if somebody in possession of the ball makes contact with the referee,
yeah,
I think that play should probably stop. or be an advantage play at least for that player. But hey, again, I don't make the rules.
Yeah, right.
So no, it's really been the mistakes out of the back specifically that have really hurt them.
So then is the Nashville game just one of those that you sit there and you take it and you put it in file 13, you throw it away, you flush the toilet, and it's just like, okay, we learn from it, but we don't dwell on it kind of a thing?
So that's the school I come from, and that's my take. And then when we heard Greg on the postgame podium, he said, no, we're not throwing that away. He said, there's going to be accountability. We're going to learn from it. And it would be one thing if they had a performance like that, and that was the first one, and obviously seven goals is way beyond.
Yeah.
But it's the mistakes, and it's some of the same mistakes we've seen over and over this season that I think Greg's point was, well, we threw this out last time and we're back here. We can't throw this out. We have to get better from this, and we have to stop making some of these mistakes. I mean, the depth that was able to be played in behind their back line last game was unacceptable. You know, Jack Elliott's had a rough couple of games. As good as he was for the first part of the season, he was not good the last couple of games, missed a couple of markings, specifically in the Nashville game. We'll get to the Orlando City game, which I know has some oddities to it too. Mm-hmm. And that really needs to be cleaned up. So, no, I think we're at the point now in this run of five games without a win where Greg's like, we can't keep throwing away what we're doing. We have to figure out why we're doing it. We have to fix it. So that was more the attitude. And again, to my opening comments by Greg Berhalter, his candor and, you know, his openness with the media has been so refreshing. Just getting up there and saying, fans, we apologize. Unacceptable. Can't happen. And we're going to fix it. And we're going to be better next time. And with, you know, 10 men and for 65 minutes, they work.
So the Orlando match, if I go Larry King and go Orlando, what sticks in your head?
I can't remember the last time I saw a goalie red card. That'd be one thing. You know, I guess it was deserved. You know, you watch it in slow-mo enough times, you could convince yourself otherwise, but you understand why the red card was given. Fortunate that it ended up being an inch, 3 inches, whatever, outside the box so that they didn't have to have the PK for it. That was a break. I think my biggest takeaway from that game was a young man named Chris Cups and a 16-year-old that stepped in after a team that gave up seven goals the game before in Nashville. Down 10 men for 65 minutes, played center back and played his you-know-what off.
Yeah.
And that really caught Greg Berhalter's attention too. I think we got to five questions in the post-game media. And he goes, how has nobody asked me about Chris Cups yet? Like a 16-year-old in his MLS debut, making a start, ends up having he was like, he could not say enough good things. He didn't start in the MLS Cup game yesterday. I would assume that he will on Saturday. I don't know how he couldn't. After the struggles that Sam Rogers has had and Carlos Tehran being hurt, Omar Gonzalez is a fill-in at this point. He's not an answer in terms of any significant amount of time. So I think we're going to see the 16-year-old again.
All right. I'm trying to think of I'm trying to buzz through everything in my head here. Okay. So what would you anticipate the starting 11 looking like going into this matchup with Atlanta?
It's a hard one because you can't really take much from the U.S. Open Cup game yesterday. They basically went starters. They needed a win.
Yeah.
They won 4-0 and it went well for the most part.
Right.
You know, I think that, you know, you're going to see the big three, although I thought Marin Haile Selassie looked good yesterday. You know, he's kind of been relegated to bench duty after being 2 years of a starter for the Fire. I think there's a chance maybe for a little bit more dynamic play up and down the right side. You see him as a starter, but Zinkerdoggle has been really good, so I don't see a reason to necessarily place him. It'll be Jack Elliott on the back. I think it'll be Cups on the back. You know, I think it'll be probably Jonathan Dean in the back. He looked better, so you're going to get to see your buddy there. And you'll obviously see Gutman in the back. Midfield-wise, you're going to see Gutierrez. Will you see Orhel? Is that somewhere where there's rotation? Maybe Haile Selassie comes in. I don't know. That seems very offensive focus for a team that struggled on the back end. And Haile Selassie doesn't necessarily bring you extra possession. He brings you extra kind of dynamicism up and down the right side. Right. And so we'll see on that. I think we're going to see a lineup we haven't necessarily seen a lot of, though. I think it will look different. I think Greg's serious when he talks about changes and making changes. Right now, the question is, where is Kellen Acosta fit in all this? That's the one name I haven't really said that he hasn't had a great year. He really, at times, has struggled finding his rhythm? Do we see, you know, another youth movement there? Or does he come back in the starting lineup because he hasn't been as much in the lineup? There's a lot of questions right now. And I don't know that anything was answered yesterday with the U.S. Open lineup.
And my last question for you, are we going to talk about Inter and Barca in 7 seconds?
Well, it's funny. I had the first half of that game on, and then I had to do some work calls. I had to take care of some work things. So in the back of my head, I'm like, wow, Inter's advancing, right? And about 45 minutes later, so it was maybe about the 85th minute, I turn it back on. I'm like, what happened here? And then obviously the ending, the extra time. So sad Barca fan over here. It was an all-timer. There's no doubt about it. And I hope more people were watching it than I figured were. At least it was on CBS.
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock on a, what was it, Wednesday? What's today? Tuesday? I don't remember what day that was anymore.
Sure.
I hope people were watching it because I think it would have been a great advertisement for soccer. And it was like kind of like watching a Kings Oilers series in hockey. If you're going to get something to exactly. I think that was John. That was everyone's reaction to that series. It was NASCAR on skates. So if there was a game to watch, it was that one. And I feel similarly.
God, you had to bring that up, man.
I do see real quick, John, if you don't mind, I see the non-fire question.
Yes.
And then thoughts on the report, the Chicago Red Stars. So I don't follow the Red Stars very closely. My good buddy Joe Chats from On Tap Sports does. So that's always somebody you could throw on. And who's saying RIP Catalonia? That's fighting words up there in the chat.
Yeah, we have a Twitch pitch and Catalucci is
got it.
Yeah.
So I don't know as far as that. I will say, so I'm a Northwestern football season ticket holder, have been my entire life, grew up in Evanston. Yeah. So that lakefront facility is awesome.
Love that.
Have you been?
I have not been. But
you should make an excuse this fall if you can. It's a really cool way to see a football game. And as a lifelong Northwestern fan and talking to other Northwestern fans, we all got there. We all kind of looked at each other like, is it too late to build the permanent thing here? Because this is really cool.
Yeah.
But no, it's going to get built on the old site and it's going to be great, whatever they build new. But I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, for a season, but I don't know. The Red Stars have a lot of issues right now on a lot of different fronts.
Yeah.
So, I don't wade too deeply into the Red Stars. Like I said, my buddy Joe Chats can certainly weigh in on that.
Yeah, and calling themselves just the Stars, that's the first issue.
Yeah, exactly. See, that shows you I need to follow closer. I forgot about that.
I'm right there with you. hit the promo for me, and everybody gets to follow along on the local radio option on the TVs. But go ahead and lay out the promo for broadcast plans coming up this weekend.
Yeah, local radio, you can certainly trigger, I'm sure as you all know, on Apple TV, that local radio option, or on WLS.com here in Chicago on WLS AM 890. We'll be at Soldier Field. It's going to be a great night. Fire looking for their first home win of the season. Haven't won at home, so... Atlanta's going to be fighting that momentum for the Fire, hopefully getting their first home win of the season.
Yep. So, as always, my friend, great to see you. Thanks for breaking the glass. And any time, Friday in the 10 o'clock hour, more like 10:30 and beyond Eastern time, the hour of chaos, basically, if we don't have a guest, we just lay it all out there and folks can parachute in, give me a 2 or 3 minute update and get out or hang out or do whatever. So you now have the garage door opener. Drop in anytime. And you can let everybody know what's going on up there in Chicago. Great to see you.
I appreciate that. And anytime you need me to come on to talk Chicago specifically, just give me a holler. Happy to do it.
Will do, Max. Thanks for dropping
in. All right, Jim. Have a good one.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
So once again, as always, it's great to catch up with Max and find out what's going on with the Chicago Fire. Don't forget that you can use, if you subscribe to Apple TV and MLS Season Pass, you can use your local radio option when the Fire have home matches, and you can catch Max on, once again, WLS AM 890. Next up, we caught up with an old friend for Atlanta United fans and for fans of Major League Soccer, and it was the chance to catch up with Ozzy Alonso. And with Ozzy, he is now on the other end of the camera. And it was a fun conversation for us to find out what it's like for Ozzy, who is a studio analyst now for Apple TV and MLS Season Pass, working on La Previa, working on MLS 360, and working on El Resume. So here's our conversation with Ozzy Alonso, where he lets us know who his stars are as the season is one-third gone, and what he thinks about one of his former clubs, Atlanta United. We bring in Ozzy Alonso to the show. And so, Ozzy, Parky, Ozzy, and
hey,
Nelly.
Ozzy.
How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, man.
That's good.
You and family good?
Everyone's doing really well. How about yours? Are you living down in Atlanta still?
I'm still here, yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, it's nice to see you, man.
So, Michael Parkhurst, your question for Ozzy Alonso, now that he is on this side of the camera, what is your first question for Ozzy Alonso on a Freestyle Friday?
I'll ask the same question I did Bradley Wright Phillips. I said, what's the toughest part of your new job, right? Of being on the other side in front of the camera and working games and things, like, what's the toughest part of that?
Yeah, it is different. It's hard. You know, being this side and talking about the game. But the more difficult part for me was like the camera, you know, talking on time, and, you know, be there, the moving. But everything else, like talking about the game is more easy. But the camera, when they're talking in the ear, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just distracting.
Yeah.
Distracting. What about in this? I think I would have trouble doing this a little bit. Guys that you know, guys that you played with, whatever, and they don't have a good game or they don't have a good performance, is it difficult to point those things out? And
that's what I say. Yeah, it's hard when you play with some guy and you play for many games and he's a friend of you and you want to say something, you have to be careful, you know, because you were there, you played the game, and you know, sometimes you make a mistake and you don't want to hear somebody like saying something about you. But yeah, we try to, you know, like say something like global, not to hurt the guy, but yeah, sometimes you have to say it, because if you see something, you have to point it.
Yeah, it's part of the job.
Yeah.
All right. So as we bid adieu to Deacon and Michael Parkhurst, what's the latest at Beyond Goals Mentoring, sir?
I got to jump over to a marketing call with Beyond Goals right now. No, we're getting things prepared for the summer, doing some different things around summertime with the kids, and gearing up for a Thanksgiving camp. So getting things prepared for that.
As always, my friend, great to see you. When you can hop on with us at 9:30 on Friday mornings, we're going to spend time with Osvaldo Alonso and find out about TV analyst Osvaldo Alonso now.
See you, Ozzy. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Be good. All right. There goes Parky. All right, Ozzy. And you mentioned, first off, I have an official title that I have to bestow upon you here. Studio analyst for MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, on the Spanish studio team for MLS 360 and on El Resumen. First off, congratulations. You mentioned what it's like. How does it feel to be on this side of the camera?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for inviting me here to the show.
Yeah.
It's been great. You know, it's something that I never done it before. So this opportunity came to me and I take it like right away. And, you know, it's been great. It's been 2 months now talking about the game. Yeah, we do like resuming, La Previa and 360. And it's been great, you know, talking about the game, seeing the MLS from the other side of the field. And, you know, I'm kind of like I'm excited to be doing this for the league and for me.
And you mentioned one of the most difficult aspects of being on this side of the camera, where you have to kind of cut your head in half and listen to the folks behind the camera with one ear and listen to what's going on in studio with the other ear. Are you still trying to cut your head in half? Have you kind of gotten used to the half conversations? Where is your head right now?
In the beginning, it was very, very difficult. But right now, I'm going to get used to. And now I forget about anything else. I focus on what I do. When they talk to me, I heal, but I can keep doing my speech. And, you know, it's been great. So far, it's been good. I improve every day. I feel more confident right now. So I'm very excited to do this in TV right now.
Stretch, Ozzy, stretch. We need you to stretch. Yeah literally.
Finish. Don't do it, yeah.
Yeah, rap. Ozzy, cut, stop, rap.
Stop.
Exactly.
Don't talk.
was this something that you'd always wanted to do when your playing career was over, to head into the TV side and the analyst side of things?
To be honest, no. It's something like come out. I'm very open to any opportunity. You know, I came from Cuba. You know, a lot of hope in this country. And when I finished my career, they called me to do this job, analyst in the studio, in Spanish side. I say, yeah, it's talking about the game. I know it's going to be difficult in the beginning, but, you know, it's talking about the game that I know, the league that I played for many years. So I take it like serious, and, you know, I'm very, very excited to do it. I didn't know that this talent in my background, so I'm very happy to be there.
And because, you know, you never know when you're going to get called in to sit there. And it's like, OK, we need you to play up top today. And that's what you're doing right now on the TV side of things. I do want to talk about Atlanta United specifically. I do have an Atlanta United 2 question for you as we go here. But as we are 1/3 of the way through the season, and I asked this question at Bradley Wright Phillips when he was on with us, we have the good, the bad, and the ugly from the first third of the season. Let's take it one character at a time, and you can go wherever you want. Either the good, the bad, or the ugly. Which category would you choose to talk about first, and who's in it?
The good.
All right. So who's your good so far at 1/3 done?
I think Almiron, Latela, they are good. I think Miggy is doing good. Playing outside of the field is difficult for him, in my opinion.
Yeah.
When you move him to the middle, he got more chance, he create more opportunity, he can combine more with Latela. But when he play outside of the field, it's difficult for him because he tend to go inside to create opportunity and leave a space in the side. So I think it's the good part of the thing. Mm-hmm. The bad part is the defense, in my opinion. Sometimes you have to be more nasty, more aggressive, more commitment. I don't see any leadership in the back line except Brad Brad Guzan is there, but we need somebody in the field that step up, be a leader for the team. Like, say, let's go, guys. Come on. We're losing. No problem. We have to score one goal. No problem. Mm-hmm. I don't see that guy. He's there, but I don't see that guy, like, showing up on the field.
And when you have a teammate get hip-checked, plowed through, whatever, and you want your teammates to jump into that pile, you want to stick up for your teammates, you want to stand up for your teammates, how do you, in a locker room, tell your teammates, you know, we need to step up for each other here? When that needs to happen, what are those conversations like in a locker room? I need you to stand up with me to help out against these kinds of opponents that are playing kind of rough and we're not getting calls.
Yeah, first of all, to say that in the locker room, you have to show on the field. You have to lead by example. When you lead by example in the game, you got the freedom to say in the locker room. You have the spring guy, the guy like play good, your main guy, like you go close to him and say, hey, guy, we have to do this one because if we're a team, we need a cohesion. We don't have any cohesion right now. Mm-hmm. The team look like separate. Like you see people don't talk in the field. I don't see the union in the field. It's difficult when you don't have that connection with the play. We have to stick together, talk. The season is young still. MLS, 2-3 games, you win and you jump to the playoff spot. So I think you have to be more focused, commitment to a team, and, you know, they have time.
And when you look at, obviously, with Atlanta United, there's a lot of promise there from your perspective. With a lot of time left in the season, you get on a good run. You've got three games in a week at points. You sit there and you win two of those three. You get 7 points. You're in the playoff picture, these kinds of things. How difficult is it for an athlete in Major League Soccer to navigate and to work through three matches in a week, to go weekend, midweek, weekend? How hard is that these days in Major League Soccer?
It's pretty hard, but when you're young, you have the energy, you can play three games easy. You have to prepare mentally with that schedule. Like you have to play Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. But we got the resource, we got the training, we got the facility to play Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday and perform at a high level. I think every player know when we play that type of tight game and difficult game, you have to travel, play Wednesday, come back, play at home. But people prepare. You know, you can do it, you're capable to do it because we have everything to perform every single game, every single weekend in the field.
Osvaldo Alonso, studio analyst, MLS season pass on Apple TV, Spanish studio team, La Previa, MLS 360, El Resumen, hanging out with us here on a Freestyle Friday on SDHAM. For teams, when you look at the teams so far this season in Major League Soccer, who has surprised you on the field so far this year?
Wow, Vancouver. Definitely. Vancouver has been great. I think the Sorensen, the coach, is doing fantastic. Great job. He made the team play together. And you can see every week, they're doing so good. They're playing the high level. They're in the final, CONCACAF Champion Cup.
Yeah.
First place in the West. So the midfield, the defense, the forward, you can see they play as a family. They have good cohesion of the team. I think they surprised me a lot, to be honest.
Then what about LA Galaxy with their start at 0-8-3?
In the other side, yeah. The champion winless is hard. They lost last game with Kansas City without receiving any shot on goal. It's unbelievable. I think missing Ricky Puig is hard for them. But for me, also losing Jovelis is difficult too because they are the forward, kind of forward that he creates their own chance. Sometimes you need that forward like run on behind or make that play. And right now, they don't have it. I think Ramirez and Miguel Berry, I don't see that type of forward. Like, they can create a chance. They can take 1v1. The defense, they're more like in the middle, waiting for the cross or good pass. But I think they're missing Ricky Push, definitely, and Djokovic.
And you sold it, and you sold him to Kansas City.
Yeah.
Because you're hoping that Diego Fagundes, Christian Ramirez, Miguel Berry, they can help step up and be the substitutes there, and that hasn't come out. And Marco Royce, you're hoping that those folks can step in, and they haven't yet. And I know that a lot of folks in L.A. who are fans of the Galaxy are anxious about that. Who is your – if you cast a ballot right now, who would be your most valuable player in Major League Soccer one-third of the way through the season?
Oof, difficult. Can I name two players?
You can't. Hey, it's your ballot. You can do whatever you like.
So I want to call Pedro Vite.
Yeah.
He's been great.
Mm-hmm.
He's different. His skill, his work ethic, his commitment of the team of Vancouver, he's been great. He's been fantastic for Vancouver. And the other player, I say Diego Rossi, he's been amazing from Columbus. They lost Cush Hernandez. They've been playing amazing. They keep the philosophy of the team, keep the ball, and he take the responsibility to be the guy. He scored goal, assist, and you know, for me, the other two, for now, so far, MVP of the league.
And then you bring in somebody like Daniel Gazdag from Philadelphia, and you buy him to help out what's going on with Columbus. Hey, we're not scoring goals. What do we do? Well, why don't we buy Daniel Gazdag from Philly? Philly's like, okay, cool. And we're just going to take the money and, you know, stuff it under the cushions in the bed and not do anything with it. Atlanta United. So with what happened with Nashville, with the run of form that they've had, they get the lead. And then the rest of the match, Nashville's dominating. You know that goal is going to happen because they have possession like 70% of the time after the 30th minute. The equalizer comes. When you had teams that were having poor runs of form, but you knew you could do better, how difficult was it to push through the bad and get back to the good? How hard is that for a professional athlete?
It's hard, but only take one victory. I think Atlanta has to find a way, no matter how, that to win a game, to give the player more confidence, to the coach more confidence, because they play good for a moment. I think against Nashville, they have a good first half. In the second half, they're more sloppy. Like, I don't see that desire to win the game. They close down the game. I think Brad make it. Great save to save them in the box. So I think winning one game is going to give them the next step to keep climb the standing.
And we do have folks that are watching and commenting as we go here. And we do have some folks in Charleston who are watching.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted to know what you think about the current Charleston Battery team and the ownership and the stadium at Patriots Point. What do you think about what's going on in Charleston right now? How much do you keep in touch with that?
To be honest, I haven't been in touch with them really much. But the only thing I can say is Charleston is the city, the team that gave me opportunity to play in the United States, was the bridge to join MLS, and I'm very proud to be part of or that thing in the moment. The only thing I can say, I don't follow the thing much. And, you know, I always wish the best for them.
Because, you know, you're kind of busy doing stuff.
Yeah, really busy, yeah.
With MLS 360.
It's different, yeah. Now to dig in the MLS, study. Yeah.
How much studying do you have to do now? How many games do you watch before you get into studio where you have all of the games happening in front of you? What's study hall like for you these weeks?
Yeah, a lot. We had to start the whole game. We a lot of game, watching highlight, standing, who is the best player, who make a mistake, what is the record of the team. It's a lot of thing MLS, so we had to keep an eye in everything, every aspect. So in the weekend, yeah, I do my research, watching highlight, going inside a lot of app, looking for numbers. And when I had to say something, you had to be right. You had to be precise. Yeah.
If I had you get a credential to walk into the Atlanta United locker room before this matchup against Chicago this weekend, what would you tell them heading into that matchup against Chicago?
Yeah, first, I want to say, guys, forget about everything that happened in the past. Past is past. You cannot do nothing. The only thing we can do is today against Chicago. Tough thing. We have to perform. We have to be a team that we are because we have the talent. We have the play. We have the quality. The only thing we have to do is perform and win the game.
Sounds pretty solid. I like that idea. So my last question for you is kind of like a gear question, an Atlanta United 2 question. I will say this: when you had your rehab assignment with Atlanta United 2, and you had one of the coolest jersey numbers I've ever seen. You were in the 80s wearing a number for Atlanta United 2, and I'm sitting there going, man, they need to sell that because I'd be the first one buying it and hanging it in my studio space. Are you the kind of guy that keeps your jerseys from all your different stops? Do you have them all in frames someplace off camera?
Yeah, I have those jersey. Yeah, I used the 85 because, yeah, like you say, I was in my rehab from my ACL injury.
Yeah.
So when I come back, I wanna wear number C, but the number C was taken for somebody else. So I say, let me take the 85, the year that I bought. So
it's
kind of like I take the 85.
Okay. I was trying to figure out where the 85 came from. All right. So last question for you from one of our A-listers, Abby. Your favorite Cuban restaurant here in Atlanta?
Oof.
And if
Lázaro. Lázaro.
Okay, Lázaro. Okay.
Yeah, it's in Roswell, yeah.
Okay, because I was going to say, man, if you had more than one, just kind of like your MVP vote, see if you're...
I got a few, but Lázaro is pretty good.
Okay, all right. So once again, thank you for coming on the morning show and laying everything out for us. It's great to have you on this side of the camera where we can trade notes and everything and learn how to cut your head in half and have conversations, listen to one part, listen to another part. Once again, studio analyst, MLS Season Pass, Apple TV, Spanish Studio, La Previa, MLS 360, El Resumen. Did I forget anything?
No.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Inside the Marshall Islands Soccer Federation with the technical director who is based in London, England, along with a lot of the other staff, whether it's marketing, communication, coaching, of trying to have some kind of a tournament in Arkansas in August. They had a Kickstarter campaign start, and we had technical director Lloyd Hours on the morning show to find out the latest about that Kickstarter campaign and how August in Arkansas will be the next stage of the growth of the Marshall Islands Soccer Federation. Here's that interview. So, without any further ado, wasting no time, as the man is ready to go. It is like early afternoon, so 9 plus 5 is 14, so it's a little after 2 o'clock in the afternoon on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. What show gives you that? I think ours. None other. We bring in Lloyd Hours, TD for the Marshall Islands Soccer Federation. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. I'm a little bit nasally. We're struggling with hay fever here in the UK, but no, good to be back, mate. Always a pleasure.
Yep, I am right there with you. Allergies are really with me. You know, when we figured out that you could do this on a quick turn, I was trying to figure out what gear to wear. And
honestly, I appreciate it.
Well, I had to go with this because if I wore the newer one of the two, then it would end up being like just massive flares and no one could actually see my face, which might actually be an improvement. But I figured I would go and bust out the OG jersey. And the reason that I wanted to bring you on, and you and Matt or anybody else that could to answer the siren song this morning, is that for those that have been keeping track of a particular Kickstarter project about what the desire was for the Federation, and it's August in Arkansas, which sounds like some kind of a Norman Rockwell painting. August in Arkansas actually is going to happen because you made your number on the Kickstarter project. When did you find out that you made the number?
Well, I have to be like the dampener on it slightly.
Yeah.
Only because, so we found out as it was rolling, I don't know about Matt and Justin, but we were like refreshing our feeds every hour it seemed. And then someone beat us to it. So we have a guy called Woody Watson, who is Arkansas based and is doing a lot of legwork on the ground for us. And he beat us to it. He put it into our little WhatsApp group and was like, you've made it. So we reached that £20,000. I think it's about $26,000, which is amazing. And to be honest, yeah, that covers a big chunk of the funding needed, I guess. The big thing for us now is we do need an extra push, which we're going to try to do from sponsorships. So the £20,000 will cover accommodation. So not only do we have to cover ourselves and give ourselves somewhere to stay for our team, as a host nation, we have to provide that for the visiting nations as well. So food and accommodation is put on by the host nation, which is us. So that covers that, which is fantastic. Now we've got the big push to get us there. So that's where the sponsorship's going to come in, hopefully. We can find someone that wants to put their name, you know, their company's branding across the... You could be the headline sponsor. You could be sponsoring goalkeeper gloves, whatever it may be, balls, match day experience, whatever it may be. But that's where the sponsorship drive is now going to come. But yeah, the big chunk is gone, which is amazing.
What has it been like for all of you guys to come up with this idea? Well, first off, where did you come up with the Kickstarter idea to try and see if that would help?
To be honest, it was Matt. I don't think I can take credit for it. I don't think anyone else can as well. It was Matt's idea because we had the GoFundMe page from when we first started, which everyone seems to be doing. You know, everyone has that approach. With the Kickstarter, it seems a little bit cooler because the draw and the sort of the appeal of the Kickstarter is you risk it. You have it all or you lose it. So we set the bar high. But bearing in mind, to run the tournament itself is going to be around £70,000, £60,000. We have unfortunately had Guam that have dropped out, which is a shame. But on the one hand, it makes it easier for us to raise a little bit of money, so it does drop it slightly. On the other side, it makes it sad that they couldn't take part because they're a big ally that we wanted to use. But yeah, with the Kickstarter, we knew the figure, but at the same time, if you don't hit what the limit is, you lose whatever's in there. So you might be, you know, £5 short, but you lose whatever's in there. So we thought, well, we're too risky to put the full amount. We put 20,000, and yeah, we fortunately made it. But I think we've 12 days to spare as well.
And to have this kind of attention to an idea, how wide-ranging has it been where folks have been able to sit there and express interest in the project? How many folks have been reaching out? Has your WhatsApp group been blowing up from all around the planet?
Oh, honestly, like, I think we've got about 10 new WhatsApp groups now, because myself and Matt and Justin have one anyway. Then we had like board ones, and we had ones with just a couple of people from Arkansas. Now we've got ones with people that are running it in terms of setting the things up for us. So we, you know, we want a certain venue, we want it for certain times, we want practice at certain times for all the teams. But we are the other side of the world. We're collating with people 12 hours ahead and also 6 hours behind. So collaborating rather. So we've got Woody that's doing that for us. But yeah, then we've got other groups as well. So we've had fortunately had a group of, I don't want to say 6 or 7 people that have expressed interest in just helping with ideas and sharing it. And they've created a new WhatsApp group. But no, it's been amazing. And, you know, the press we've had from it has been great as usual. We've just got to keep the momentum going and keep the message in the media for now anyway.
How'd you come up with Springdale as your venue?
I can't remember if we've spoken about it before. I'm pretty sure we have, but I'm not sure. But yeah, Springdale is like the hub of non-RMI based communities. Right. It's the largest Marshallese community based outside of the Marshall Islands itself. Whenever we've done anything in terms of the US based activities, women's camps, stuff like that, it's been in Arkansas, especially, you know, mostly around Springdale. So whenever we look at doing activities in the US, it'll always be based in Springdale. Now we felt that, yeah, this is where we should be. We, in a grand scheme of things, you probably look at it and think we want it to be in Majuro, but for a first game, it was difficult to get the buy-in from people to come to Majuro, being honest, because it's so expensive and it's a risk for them. Whereas we've had really good relations with CONCACAF nations. We reached out to a few. A lot of people wanted to come back, but couldn't quite make it work. But US Virgin Islands and Turks and Caicos could. And we felt then that, you know, the US is the place to be for us. So that's where we chose.
And for those that may not know, it's right there in that Four Corners area where it's Northwest Arkansas. Then if you flip and go across the border into Oklahoma, there's some facilities that are there on the eastern side of that border, right up there in that cross section of Missouri and Kansas and Oklahoma and Arkansas. And it looks like the venue that you may be right now that is looking like it's going to be Springdale High School, right there, right in the heart of the whole thing.
Yeah, so it's an impressive venue as well. It really is impressive. And yeah, we're looking forward to playing. It really is amazing that, like, for us, you look at schools here, any sport, it's just a field for any sport. But to play in a 6,000 capacity stadium, which is a high school, is absolutely mind-blowing for us. But yeah, amazing in the sense that we're going to play there. And it only gives us inspiration when you look at nations like Greenland, for example, with their CONCACAF applications at the moment. And you think, yes, we are technically that side of the world. We're a different region, but we have such good political ties to the US. We have good transport links to the US. We have good relations with CONCACAF nations. Why don't we put on a show and see what we can do and see where it takes us, I guess.
See, now that's the next step, is that for the Marshall Islands to take on Greenland.
I speak to their technical director, Soren. I speak to him quite a lot, and he's a really good guy. Very similar to that story to ours, but they're just a little bit more advanced than us. And a little bit further down that line. But yeah, they're coming to London in October. So I did express some interest. Like, look, we'll play you. But the downside, I realised, is it doesn't give us a lot of time to raise the money to do it. So I don't think it will happen. But yeah, we'll make it happen at some point, I'm sure.
Yeah, the friendlies of the Marshall Islands and Greenland. So if you look back to day number one, when you dove into this project, when you and Matt and Justin and you all dove into this, to sit there and get to where it is now. And I know a lot of folks will sit there and say, well, it's been X number of years, but at the same time, I'm sure it feels just like the other day when you started.
Oh, it really does.
I mean, what is what runs through your mind about everything about where the entire soccer community has embraced the story and want to see you grow and want to see the Marshall Islands represented? What's it been like from day one to now to get to this next stage and this next event coming up in August?
I think for us, it's been trying to maintain a bit of level-headedness and trying to make sure that we don't, one, we don't get carried away with ourselves, but also people don't get carried away with expectations.
Right.
Because the common theme is that people wanted to see the 11-11 game since day one. And we realized quite quickly that wasn't going to happen because obviously, you know, we were starting out from fresh, from scratch. So we needed to make sure it was sustainable. We needed kids playing. We needed adults playing. We needed to actually, like this summer, for example, half the squad's not going to be living in the Marshall Islands. Half of it are Marshallese people that live in different places. But we wouldn't have had that opportunity to do that in the early days. But yeah, it's just making sure that people stayed relevant. Well, sorry, we stayed relevant to what people wanted to see. We've tried to make sure that we had good achievements and things we ticked off along the way. Futsal last year being like a stepping stone with the international fixtures last summer. Look, this is now where people have been building towards. And without naming names, there's a regional nation which is very similar next door to the Marshall Islands who tried doing something similar and haven't got anything close to what we've managed to do, which is a testament to what we've been doing. But also in terms of a Kickstarter, I think they raised like £600, whereas obviously we managed to hit 20,000 in 2 months. And I think that's just down to we've kept the interest flowing, but we've also kept that appeal of the potential of what we've got coming up. And we've got massive aims for what we want to do after this. So this is now just becoming part of a stepping stone, and we want to make sure it's a good one for us.
Lloyd Auer is technical director of the Marshall Islands Soccer Federation, batting leadoff here this morning. He's fighting allergies, and I know that, that when, when you duck your camera out, I know that's when you're fighting. To dial it back in, it's like, okay, he's going to ask a question. I'm going to turn my camera off, and I got to fix something, and then I'll come right back. I know exactly that feeling. When was the last time you were on the island and helping out on futsal and everything?
February. Okay. So yeah, a couple of months ago now.
So what was it like back on the island last time you were there with all of the futsal and getting everybody acclimated to all of that? What was your last trip like?
Yeah, it was really good, to be honest. I it was different because the first time I went out, it was a case of trying to just work out what was going to happen. What was the lay of the land? The second time was more around the tournament, the futsal tournament. The third time was more around coach education, but also seeing other islands. So Majuro was good because it allowed us to see the same people we keep seeing, but also how they're developing. But then we had the chance to go to Kwajalein, obviously the home of the US military base. Yep. But uniting Kwajalein under the Soccer Federation banner, and in Ibai as well. Ibai is an interesting place. There we go, tactical. Ibai is an interesting place in the sense of it's one of the most poverty-stricken places in the world. It's the sixth most condensed population in the world. You've got around 20,000 people living in like 3 square miles.
Wow.
And it was eye-opening because there is just nothing. Poverty is key or king. And it's crazy to think that because the 20-minute boat ride away, you've got Kwajalein, which has everything. You have an hour away by flight. You've got Majuro, which is obviously in between the two. So it was eye-opening in that sense. But the good thing for us was seeing how we could help there. We've got sessions happening there now. It was a different trip in the sense of it was more around uniting different areas rather than just the technical side. But on the technical side, we realized quite quickly there were people playing that were good. Kwajalein played against Majuro in futsal and outdoor. And that's where we've managed to use a bit of a recruitment strategy for this summer's games as well.
What's it been like for you and for everyone attached to the project to try and unite each and every island in the chain that you've been touching with? What's it been like to try to have that unifier there for you?
In terms of having Kwajalein on board?
Yeah, Ibai, Kwajalein, Majuro, all.
Yeah, for us, right? Well, because Kwajalein's always had some form of soccer going on. They've had a soccer season for I don't even know how long, in terms of like a 2-month season.
Yeah,
but it is very, very well organized, very well structured. But once soccer season's done, it moves on to the next sport, the next sport, the next sport. It just goes round. Yeah. But we also realise because that's happening, there will be players that are either playing, you know, at a decent level because it's competitive, but also they probably come into Kwajalein from somewhere else. They probably have a soccer background. And there are a lot of people that live there that have been there for years. Kids have grown up on island. So, for example, this summer we've got players from Kwajalein who have been on Kwajalein or in the Marshall Islands in general for 20 years. But we've also got players that are young but were born in the Marshall Islands and have grown up in the Marshall Islands and are living on Kwajalein. And, yeah, it allows us to open up that player pool, but it also allows us to do more things, more opportunities for the guys from Majuro to go and play there and vice versa.
What about the idea of unifying all of these different communities and socioeconomic backgrounds where you go from poverty, you go from poverty to an island that's got pretty much everything to the one that's in the middle, as you're talking about? What's it like to unite these three groups together through the sport of football?
Yeah, I think that's always been our aim as well in this game, because we've always said that our aim is to unite communities regardless of where they are for Marshallese people around the world. We had players from Majuro who hadn't left Majuro before. And one of them was saying to me, like, oh, this is the best weekend of my life. And you're thinking, you've only gone to Kwajalein. But it is like night and day. And then, so seeing the opportunities that we're given through the sport is unbelievable. But hopefully that's something that we can just build on in the future as well. But like this summer, for example, we've got players from Kwajalein, players from Majuro, players from the US who are mainland US-based. We've also got a couple of Marshallese players that are, Marshallese, but live in Germany. And so the difference then is even broader, because it's, even for the guys that are US-based compared to the European-based, they've still grown up in a different way, different style of playing the game and cultural beliefs, whatever it may be. It's going to be interesting to unite those different backgrounds and cultures anyway as one group.
What's it like to get notifications? How does that happen? It's like, yes, I live in Germany and I'm of Marshallese descent. How does that work? How does that happen?
So prior to the US links to the Marshall Islands, it was like a German occupation. A lot of Marshallese have ended up in Germany over the years. And then one guy reached out to us saying, on Instagram, I think, saying, look, I'm Marshallese, I play soccer, or play football, he said, I think. And it was like, right, okay. But we get a lot of messages from people saying, oh, I want to play for the Marshallese, but they're not Marshallese. Yeah. But this guy was adamant. I was like, look, if you can prove you are a Marshallese, brilliant. So he did. He went away, came back with birth certificates from his grandparents, and right, okay, fair enough. But he's only 17, but he plays in the German 4th division. And then from him, he found another guy that is also 17, also has Marshallese grandparents, who also plays in the German 4th division. So we're like, okay, fair enough. So, and then there was another one who is in Serbia, who is Marshallese, but can't play this summer. Will be available for future games after that. But yeah, it's unbelievable how these different people just keep popping up from different places.
All right, so what's next on the board to get ready for August in Arkansas? What can folks do? How can they help out? Just because you've hit the marker on the Kickstarter project doesn't mean that they should stop.
No. So we've got 11 days left, I think, now with the Kickstarter. So if that can keep rising, brilliant, because it just allows us to do more. But yeah, the next thing is, if people are listening from companies who might want a media promotion in terms of worldwide media, social media, the branding opportunity, just community relations, doing something good for the community, then get in touch, because we've got loads of different sponsorship packages ranging from, I think it ranges from $2,000 to $60,000. So it's endless opportunities to get involved.
As always, my friend, it's great to see you. I know that we're both fighting.
Yeah, sure.
I know we're both fighting allergies, and that sucks. But
no, I appreciate it.
You know that you got the keys to the kingdom. You can come in anytime. Just I know that we have our own WhatsApp group, so I know that if there's anything
going on,
reach out. And it's great to see you, my friend. Fantastic that you made the marker on the Kickstarter. I know that it's just the beginning of everything, and looking forward to seeing you in August in Arkansas, my friend. Thanks for dropping by.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.
And as always, once again, if you believe in causes like this, the Kickstarter project is up for another 10 days or so. You can go to kickstarter.com. You can search out the Marshall Islands Project, and you can
be a part of it yourself. And you can also be in Arkansas in mid-August and find out what's going on and see what it's like to see a national team being built from the ground up as the Marshall Islands take on the Turks and Caicos and the U.S. Virgin Islands as a part of the Outrigger Challenge Cup in 2025 here in August in Arkansas. And it's going to be fun to see this story continue to grow and evolve, and that's why we've latched onto it from the absolute beginning. And we can't thank Lloyd and Matt and Justin and everybody associated with the Federation enough for answering the phone and coming on the show and being 5 hours ahead or six or seven or sometimes 16 to 18 and being with us on the show to tape interviews and continue to get progress reports or be live and give really cool breaking news. That is another go-round of SDHAM. Once again, thanks to Max Anderson, play-by-play voice on the radio, on terrestrial radio at WLS 890 AM, for his breakdown of the Chicago Fire season to date as they prepare for the matchup against Atlanta United Saturday afternoon. Great to catch up with Ozzy Alonso and find out what it's like for him as a studio analyst on Apple TV, MLS Season Pass, La Previa, MLS 360, and El Resumen. Find out what it's like for him to have people talking in his ear and still have to talk at the same time. What it's like to be on the other side of the lens and the microphone for a change. And once again, catching up with Lloyd Hours from the Marshall Island Soccer Federation about the activity in Arkansas. That is going to be August in Arkansas, 11v11, the Outrigger Challenge Cup there in Springdale, Arkansas. The Marshall Island Soccer Federation gets to be a part of it. So once again, thanks for hanging out with us for yet another week of SDHAM. I'm John Nelson. Once again, follow Soccer Down here on all of our social media platforms. On Twitter, on the 280-character app on X, it is on Instagram, it is on YouTube, it is on Twitch, and it's on all points in between. So just do a search for Soccer Down here on all your favorite social media platforms, and now on Blue Sky as well, and you can continue to keep up with us, and we in turn get to keep up with you, like friend, and be a part of the conversation 7 days a week at SDH. I'm John Nelson. Thanks for dropping by for another go-round of SDHAM. Play it safe, everybody. Mucha plata, y'all. We'll catch up with you next week.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.